When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, next on the T Nation, thank you so much for coming back to part two of this very special Masters wrap-up edition of Next on the T, featuring my conversation with the guy who I consider the godfather of golf talk radio, and that is John Patrick. John has been covering the Masters going all the way back to 1980. I think it's 85. We'll talk about that when John joins the show. He's been around for 41 of these things, 40 of them officially, according to Augusta National. We'll talk about that as well. But John is just the authoritative voice on the Masters tournament. Nobody knows the golf course, the people, the tournament better than John Patrick does. He is the host of the Augusta Golf Show and Augusta's morning news show on WGAC there in Augusta, Georgia. And just like I say, one of the most wonderful people you'll meet in this life. So if you love the Masters, if you love Augusta National, sit back, relax, let John and I take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next 45 minutes or so. You're going to love this special edition of Next on the Tee. But before John and I get started, I want to remind you about our friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2under.com. 2Under, performance in your pants. I also want to remind you about our wonderful friends over at Squares Golf. Before I bring him into the show, let's talk about our friends over at Squares Golf. And folks, do you sway and you're off balance in your golf swing? You know what? It could be your shoes. A golf shoe needs structure to provide stability and reduce sway. How can you tell if your shoes lack structure and are hurting your game? If you can hold your shoes by the toe and heel and twist it, toss it. Squares was designed for the perfect balance of structure and comfort. Isn't it time you tried Squares? Try the new Speedbolt at squares.com. That's squairz.com.
Sure, this is golf, but so is this. And this. And this is definitely golf. And so is this.
Hey, that's not golf.
Oh, wait, yeah, it is. And no matter what your golf is, you're going to need a store. No, a superstore. A place to get fit for a new club and walk out with it the same day. A place to find the perfect fit. A place to do whatever this is. Because this is golf. And this is Golf's Superstore.
All right. Now back with me is the host of the Augusta Golf Show, Augusta's morning news show as well on WGAC. A guy I revere and I refer to as the godfather of golf radio because he has done it better than anybody else has ever done it, and that is John Patrick. You can check out his golf show at AugustaGolfShow.com online, or you can stream that show or his local news show at WGAC.com. I had the privilege of meeting John for the very first time in person During this year's Augusta National Women's Amateur, we met on the course in front of the big scoreboard there at Augusta National, just off the first fairway. It was a huge honor and one of the highlights of 2025 for me so far. He couldn't have been nicer or more generous with his time. I promise you, there is no one who knows the Masters Tournament, Augusta National, and its impact on golf history better than John does. Also, when it comes to, like I say, the best golf radio show host or show, period, anywhere on the planet, we're all looking up at this man. And to give you a sense of his place in the game, when COVID protocols reduced the number of people who got credentials for the media center at Augusta National, one radio show host, one, was there. And that one guy was John Patrick. That's all you need to know about how great this man is. And I'm excited he is back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, John, how are you, my friend?
How does a guy keep the baseball?
Right?
Unbelievable.
I know.
And if meeting me was the highlight of 2025, there's plenty of year left on that, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that you think so. But I don't know if it gets much better, my friend.
Oh, it does. It has to. It was good to meet you. It was finally good to meet you in person. It really was.
Same here. So how are you holding up? I know the last few weeks have been extremely busy for you.
I held up okay yesterday, but I've learned that was adrenaline. Not holding up as well today. It hit today. The wall and I met today. It sounds bougie to say, but it's a wonderful 10 days, 12 days, but it's long. There's a lot going on. My life actually slows down a little bit once the tournament starts, because I'm kind of shackled to the seat in the media center with reports every hour. It's up until then that there's all this running around. You're meeting these people down there by those signs. I really have no right to complain, but I'm tired.
Bet you are. Remind everyone, how many Masters is this for you now?
Okay, that's a complicated question. This is the 41st Masters that I've covered, but I turned down the COVID November 2020 credential. And every time I say that and people's mouths hang open, I have to remind them to remember what the time was like back then. We would not have had access to players. We would not have access to anything. I thought the club would appreciate one less body on the ground, and I could do what I needed to do from the radio station. Now, in hindsight, it was an incredible Masters to attend. There were about, 100, 150 people there. And there were stories of folks sitting on the Sarazen Bridge watching the players play 15. Hindsight, I would have loved to have been there. They recognized this Masters as my 40th. But, Chris, it's really been 41.
And I saw Jim Nance interviewed, and he said this was his 40th Masters. He mentioned that he shares the broadcast longevity record with Vern Lundquist now. But in my mind, they're both a step behind you, obviously, with the 41 on your side, which is why, oh, by the way, you were giving another well-deserved honor last week with a very unique plaque there in the media center. Talk about that.
Back in 2007, the club established the Masters Major Achievement Award, and they awarded, they recognized members of the media. And back then it was primarily the writers, who had covered the tournament for 40 years. That first class, there was a pretty healthy amount of people, and some had covered it at the time for 50 years, the Dan Jenkins of the world and such. So, since then, when applicable, they have given out this Masters Major Achievement Award. It consists of basically three things in order. It consists of, to your point, your name goes on a wall with now about 36 people. You get a parking place with your name on it. Ooh. And back in 2007, they cut down a tree on the second fairway or the second hole somewhere, and they made a bunch of plaques out of the wood. and you get that plaque with a plaque on top of it, just recognizing you for your service for 40 years.
So let's talk about cutting down trees and making plaques out of them, because I always wondered why they wouldn't have done something like that when Ike's tree came down years ago.
They did.
Oh, they did.
They did. They made plaques and gave them to the members.
Oh, okay. That yes. would be something awesome to have hanging on the wall. Oh, by the way, yes. it's like a tree.
Yes.
So if I do the math, 86 would have been your first year?
85. I actually set foot on the property the Sunday of 84 as I was coming to work here in Augusta. My boss at the time, you know how it is when you're the new employee, they lavish you with things and then that stops immediately. But but that first day, we went to a party at his house on Saturday night of Masters Week in 84. He had a ticket, gave me the ticket. I was out there on the grounds the year that Ben won, and I've apologized to Ben profusely through the years that I didn't see any shot he hit. You know, you don't know if you're ever going to be out there again. So I went to see all of the things that I grew up watching. Watched Jack hit, you know, a long iron into 13, and watched Jack hit a long iron into 15, and sat at Amen Corner for a while. Bernhard Langer, 85, was the first Masters I covered.
So now this being his last year as a competitor in the Masters, and I know you were there in the media center when he did the press conference. I heard you talking to him. Incredibly emotional and classy individual Mr. Langer is. And I thought that press conference was as good as it gets. Talk about what you saw from him.
You know, I don't. It isn't fair to say I wasn't a fan of Bernhard. He's just, you know, he was never easy to get close to. Although a genuinely wonderful man of the faith, you just didn't. And I've had him on the golf show a few times, and I had him on the golf show this year to talk about that. But I got to tell you, Chris, I walked away from that presser, liking him more and more. Again, that makes it sound like I didn't like him. I did like him, but I liked him more and more when that was done. He showed some emotion. He showed what it meant. You know, even Rory at the end of the tournament, it's fascinating. Once you're confronted with something like Bernhard's final Masters or Rory winning the Masters, the emotions come pretty easy. Emotions that maybe you have, you know, kept behind a wall for a while. So I really enjoyed Bernhard in the press center. I joke with him, as you know, you confront this from time to time as you have guests on a show and maybe you've arranged for a phone call. Maybe you're calling them. Maybe they're calling you. When they're calling you and you set it up for 2 o'clock, it could be 2:05. It could be 2:06. It could be 2:10. If you set it up with Bernhard and you tell him 2:47, he's calling it 2:47. That's the German in it. I walked out of that presser feeling better than I did when I walked in.
When you look at this year's tournament, where does it rank for you amongst the best ones that you've witnessed?
You know, from a playing standpoint, it was bizarre. I love when a plan comes together. I love when the person that everybody wants to win wins. They love it when the person that they want to win. I firmly believe that the folks who hang around on Sunday want to say they were there when something either miraculous and or historic happened. And they're all going to say, I was there when Rory won the career Grand Slam. And they love doing that. So in that respect, it's amazing to me how often that tournament is fulfilling. I know the members have wanted Rory to win for a very long time. But they also liked Bryson. So it was just so fulfilling, and it was such a roller coaster. And because you were emotionally vested in Rory, you know, when he misses the putt on the 72nd hole, everybody was just, oh God, here we go again. But he fought back from adversity. Matter of fact, I'm up here at the radio station because I just did 20 minutes on the phone with Dr. Bob Rotella. And we talked a lot about, you know, what he and Rory have been talking about. And I don't know. It's like I said, it's just the most glorious place when the plan comes together.
What do you think this does for Rory's place in golf history? Does this vault him into the top 10 players ever? Or since it only ties him with players like Brooks Koepka with 5 majors, does he need to win a few more before we talk about him in that vein?
You know, I don't know. Is 11 worse than that much worse than 10? I don't know if he's a top 10. I know he's a top 6 as far as career Grand Slams. And I think in his mind, that's all that really matters. He is in rarefied air with that sort of thing. And you know, will we see someone else do it? We got a couple of folks. You know, Xander's now halfway there. You know, obviously Jordan is 3/4 of the way there. You know, will we see someone else do it? You know, maybe we'll see someone else do it. Maybe it will come quicker than it did between Tiger and Rory. But there's no denying he is one of the best players to ever play the game. And that's kind of an understatement. Again, you start naming names and you start counting down tens. You know, it might be tough for him to get in there, but he's not done. He's not done. Yeah, let's see if he picks up another major. Let's see. You know, he's won the 2 most significant golf tournaments of this year so far. Yeah, let's see what he does. And I know you and Calc were talking about, you know, he's going to a place he loves in Quail Hollow. We'll see how he is at Oakmont. I don't know how he'll be at Oakmont. And I wonder about the emotional aspect of it when he gets to the Open Championship. And as Dr. Bob said, that will air this weekend, you know, the challenge is what we always think the challenge is: complacency. You've accomplished the biggest goal in your career. How do you keep it going? The years that Phil Mickelson won his Masters, he did not win another tournament the rest of those years. That's a big challenge for Rory.
Is anything for him going forward just kind of gravy then at this point? Like, look, to your point, he's won the career Grand Slam. He's got his green jacket now. He's pretty much won everything there is to win, just not multiple times. Does anything he does from this point on just gravy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. But you know, I think those guys are made from good stock. And again, Dr. Bob talked about the fact that, you know, if he wants to win the PGA Championship, he has to do all over again what he did last week. And can he bring himself to that? The champions do. The last 2 we saw with Tiger and Jack did it repeatedly. We're going to have to wait and see. I mean, you know, it's been this Rory watch for this next major and possibly this Masters. Now that it's been achieved, to quote Rory, what are we going to talk about now? Let's see. My gut says this is a jumping off point, that he will rise to the occasion. But I think it's a constant, not a constant challenge. It's just something he must be aware of. And I think Dr. Bob will keep him aware of that.
John, just a few more before I let you go. What about Justin Rose's place in Augusta National lore? Now he's lost 2 playoffs. He's done both of those in, you know, extra time when guys needed to win a major. Sergio beats him, right? And then Sergio had not won a major. We were all waiting for him to win one. And unfortunately, that cost Justin a green jacket. Now he has another one arm in the jacket when he birdies 18 and Rory comes back to snatch it away. What does Justin Rose have as his legacy there at Augusta National?
You know, so I mean, a lot of people have, you know, had their careers of second place finishers. I always think of Tom Weisskopf when we had this conversation. Justin finished 2nd, all props to him. And I don't want to say he kind of backdoored the 2nd, but you know, he kind of made this run at the very end. I never really thought Ludwig was in it for some reason. I can't explain why. And I always kind of thought Rory was going to come out of this. And Rory should have come out of this. Rory should have parred 18, and Justin would have been a rock-solid 2nd. But because Rory didn't par 18, then it became a playoff. And not only did Rory get a 2nd chance, so did Justin. So I think it was a rock solid second. Can he say it was in his grasp and then he lost it? I think that's a bit of a stretch.
When you look back over the 41 years that you've been associated with the tournament and all of the chairmen that have led the national and the tournament all over those years, does one chairman stick out above the rest in your mind as being the most progressive or most responsible for how we went from only seeing the coverage of the tournament starting on the back nine on Sunday to seeing then every hole and now seeing every shot by every player, plus the tournaments around the world that they have helped to bring along and now help players qualify to have an opportunity to play in the Masters? Does someone stick out above the rest in your mind?
Well, I'll give you two answers to that. And the answer to your question is Billy Payne, William Porter Payne. He spent his tenure as chairman improving every single aspect of that tournament except the golf course. He touched the golf course a little here and there, maybe some tees backed up or tees were lengthened a little bit, but not like his predecessor did. And because of timing, not like his successor did. Billy concentrated on the infrastructure of that golf tournament and has massively changed the dynamic of that golf tournament in ways we don't even know. Having said that, in what I've learned since Jack Stevens was the chairman, I would have liked to have known him better. I would have liked to have known more of his story. Maybe it was just the nature of how they were back then and how I was back then. But I've learned so much about Mr. Stevens since his chairmanship, as far as the tenor of the man, the quality of the man. And I've gotten to know his son. I wish I'd been closer to Mr. Stevens because he didn't give off this air of confidence and or superiority. He was kind of soft spoken. He was kind of very Southern. But there have been so many stories about what he was able to accomplish and how he was able to accomplish it. And, the thing I will take with me forever is he played golf at Augusta National with Carl Jackson. No caddy from that club had ever played that golf course until Carl Jackson played it with Jack Stevens. So, I think Billy Payne has been the most influential chairman. I think Jack Stevens has been the most underrated chairman.
We've seen so many things added out there for the tournament to the course. You mentioned some of the lengthening that we've seen over the years. We've seen 13 move back a couple of times, trees added and removed from 11, 5 and 15 have been lengthened as well. We've seen a massive amount of additional parking added for the tournament. Berkman's Place was created. Now we've got an upscale dining place across from the main entrance that was new this year. What else do you see coming on the horizon? Are you hearing things that are going to get added and upgraded to the facility as we look ahead to 26?
Well, the chairman announced the players' facility that will be built over the summer, allow the players a bit of a refuge, allow their families a bit of a refuge to get away from, us. and that will be built. Again, this is I apologize for those who have never been. This will be built in what currently is a parking lot for about, 20, 25 cars, right behind what had been for many years the range. It's the member range at Augusta National, which now has underground parking underneath it. This player's facility will be built on that property. They're about building buildings and building tunnels out there. And of course, from an Augusta standpoint, the announcement the chairman had on Monday regarding their continuing efforts to renovate and revitalize the Augusta Municipal Golf Course, commonly known around here as the Patch, and the Tiger Woods Learning Center, which is a few years away, be the fourth location in the country for one of Tiger's learning centers. He hinted at a big announcement next year, so we'll see what that is. But those were pretty big this year.
If they brought you in and asked, John, what do you think we need to focus on next, either to further enhance the tournament or their place in golf, or maybe just as citizens in the Augusta community, What would you tell them?
You know, I wish as citizens of the Augusta community, this is where I live. I wish they would be a little bit more forthcoming with their plans when they plan to do something that affects our daily lives. You know, for many, many years, it used to be so insular. For many years, everything they did was within the bamboo, was within the confines of the campus. And now so much of it is taking place outside the confines, whether that means you lose the tire shop you always used to go to, or you lose the Publix that you shop, you know, buy groceries in. There's a lot of that going on. And I just wish they would kind of let us know, hey, here's something that's going to happen. Here's something that's about to happen. You know, I don't know why I wish that. I mean, I'm not going to change it. They're still going to do it. I'm going to have to find another place to buy groceries if the Publix goes away. But if in the tone and tenor of your question, and the way they have now embraced this community, whether it was Chairman Ridley or Chairman Payne, you know, they said words and locations I never imagined hearing them say when they talk about Payne College, when they talk about the Patch, when they talk about Washington Road, when they talk about, you know, Harrisburg, whatever. No chairman before Chairman Payne said those sorts of things to folks who live here. So since they're doing all of that, when they're going to do something that will affect the citizens and the community here, I just wish they'd be a little more open about that.
John, before I let you go, remind our listeners again how they can stay up to date with all the great things that you're out there doing. Listen to both of your shows, particularly your upcoming interview with Dr. Rotella. How can they do it?
That's AugustaGolfShow.com. When those interviews get posted, you can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. Lots of these things: the iHeartRadio app, the Odyssey app, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. You follow me on X. That's at Augusta Golf Show. And as you were kindly mentioning, I do this morning radio show on the News Talk here in town, and there's an app for that. WGAC is the app for that.
John, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of this show. Over the years, I've heard people involved with the Masters broadcast say that guys like Henry Lundqvist were, you know, the best who had ever done it. And most recently, they've honored Vern Lundqvist for his time with broadcasting the golf tournament. For my money, nobody is even close to how great you are. I can't thank you enough.
That's very kind. Did you get a gnome?
I did not. It was the minimum, what, like 300 a day was all that.
No, you know what I've heard? I think I told you that when you were here. I have since heard it's 1,000 a day.
1,000. Well, I'll tell you what, all 1,000 were gone by the time, times I went into the merchandise shop.
I'll say.
They were gone.
All right.
Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. I hope we get this privilege of catching up with you again sometime soon.
Thank you, Chris.
See you, John.
See you, Chris.
That is the great John Patrick, folks. They absolutely do not come better than that man. From a talent perspective, for an insight perspective, for just being a good human being perspective, it just don't come any better. I had the privilege of standing out there on just off the first fairway, spending some time with him on the Saturday before. And I mean it, whether he wants to believe it or not, I mean it sincerely. It just doesn't get better in 2025 for what that meant to me and how gracious he was and generous with his time and the insights that he shared. When I think about the godfather of golf talk radio, it's John Patrick. And everybody is not only looking uphill at him, he's way off in the distance for his knowledge and for what he brings and his insights. I can't thank him enough for what he has meant to me and this show over the years. He has been so generous each and every time to join me at his busiest the week after the Masters and talk about it. That means more than I think words could do justice for me to tell him. That's how it touches my heart that a guy like John Patrick would give up his time to come and share his thoughts with me and this audience. So I thank him. I look forward to catching up with him again soon. Hopefully that happens before we run out of time in 2025.
All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this very special Masters review edition of Next on the Tee. I want to send out my sincere thanks again to Tom Patrick, Mark Calcavecchia, and John Patrick for joining me. I also want to thank our friends over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. Folks, for coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, go to triblive.com. And you can find the show by clicking on the sports section tab, and you're going to find the most recent episode front and center for you there on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on sports and then podcast network, and then you're going to see the next on the T logo. Click on that, and many of the most recent episodes from this season are going to be right there for you. You can also find the show pretty much anywhere you get your podcast content, including on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Player.fm, and GolfNewsNet.com. And as always, my sincere thanks to the wonderful folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. So please download the free app and stream your favorite podcast right there on your favorite device. But as I say each and every week, my sincere thanks go out to each and every one of you for listening to this show, for making Next on the Tee a part of your weekly golf content, and being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I thank you all so very much. Until next time, hit 'em straight, my friends. Well, I'll get-